This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the New Books Network.
I'm Caleb Zachrin, the assistant editor of the New Books Network, and today I'm speaking with Ben Keene about Rebel Book Club. Rebel Book Club is an online and IRL community that reads one recent nonfiction book a month, selected by its members. Ben and the people at Rebel Book Club have created something very special, and I'm very excited today to share their work with New Books Network listeners. Ben, thank you for joining me today.
Hey, Caleb, it's great to be here. Thank you.
Of course. Before jumping in to talk about Rebel Book Club, I was wondering if you could just tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, where you're from, how you got into this line of work, and what it's been like running a book club.
Yeah, so I'm here in, not so sunny England, southwest England, a few miles from Stonehenge. So, you know, the famous stone circle, so you can picture where I am. And of course, that's the place of legendary stories that have passed down through the generations. And the work I've always been involved with is trying to figure out how do we make education really engaging and useful, right, in life, because we know it's the bedrock for everything. So I've been involved with lots of startups, community building projects, and Rebel Book Club was one that came out of sort of a side interest and has developed into a significant part of my work and life.
And can you tell us a little bit about what Rebel Book Club is? Because it's not just your standard book club where you get together with a few friends, you know, at a bar. What sets Rebel Book Club apart, and you know, what makes it unique?
Well, hopefully the clue is in the title, right? Rebel. And Rebel Book Club began 7.5 years ago on Bali Island in Indonesia. And we were sort of in this moment of kind of living a cliche. For those that have read or watched Eat, Pray, Love, we weren't the yoga mums, but we were the kind of startup digital nomads in a bamboo co-working space with monkeys swinging through, drinking green juices. And we were out there working on online projects. And outside of the laptops, we talk about what we were interested in learning. And it's a good space for that. And of course, everyone was sharing the books they were learning on their Kindles. And my friend and I realized that our Kindles, we had a lot of similar books. So a lot of nonfiction, a lot of books, biographies, yes, but also books about popular culture, about technology, about science, about how history is being reshaped by changes in the world. But most of them were read between 10 and 30%. So in other words, the first third of the book and no further. And so we were like, why are we getting stuck on chapter 3 of these really good nonfiction books? And of course, the answer was that we were, you know, distracted, as a lot of people are these days, by our digital lives, in Bali, by the jungle and all the other exciting things going on there. And the other thing is that nonfiction takes, even if it's good, takes a bit more work than fiction, usually, because it's an argument is being built, right? And they usually set up really well in the introduction, and then you have to do some work. So we were like, we will solve this problem of unfinished books on our Kindle by getting together and doing something crazy, which is forming a book club. Now, of course, that's not unique. That's been done many times before for hundreds of years. But what we wanted to do differently was really focus on some accountability. So we set a goal, end of the month. We're going to finish this one book together as a group, and then we're going to design a cocktail on the theme of the book so we can look forward to that. That's our reward. That's our incentive to get together. And then the other thing was like we're going to try and take something from the book that we found useful or interesting, either cement it into our learning or apply it to our work or our lives. So Rebel is a bit tongue-in-cheek, but it's kind of we're going to rebel against our distracted, lazy reading selves and try and, you know, become better habitual readers of nonfiction. And secondly, we're going to try and get some quality. So quantity first and then quality from the books themselves. And that was 7.5 years ago, and we've run it every month since then.
Can you talk about some of the transformations that happened from seven and a half years ago to today? How does the book club look now compared to what it looked like then?
So the cool thing is that the rhythm of the book club hasn't changed. So every month we have a theme. So we curate this as a little team. We have a theme. We select three nonfiction books on that theme. So this month, for example, the theme is ancient wisdom for modern life. So, you know, what wisdom essentially. And we select three books and then we pass those books on to our members. We profile why we've chosen them, why we think they're great. Diverse list in terms of authors and publishers and approaches to this theme, but quality always there. Our members vote. And then the book that's voted in, for those members that have a membership, including book vouchers, we send out book vouchers and they can choose, you know, the format they read it in, paperback, audio, or on e-readers. And then we set the reading goals through the month. And at the end of the month, we have meetups. So we have meetups in person here in the UK and virtual meetups as well, where we try and bring in authors or experts or voices from our community who can help us make sense of what we've been reading. And that's the rhythm that hasn't changed. We're on book number 90. So Breathe by James Nestor, which we're reading this month, is book number 90. And then around that, some of the transformations we've seen is just this idea that every month you're diving into a different theme. So last month was Earth Heroes, all around people who are tackling climate change. You know, we've read across themes from every aspect of life, and we try and mix it up between the ones that are inward looking, kind of introspective, personal development, what we used to call self-help, outward looking, introspective, looking at the big issues or stories going on in the world and how books help us make sense of them and we relate to it. And then weird, different, quirky sort of theme every 3 months that kind of takes us somewhere new. And the transformations are, I guess, in two ways. One is the transformation in terms of people's habits around learning. And we see that that's happened regularly throughout the last 7.5 years with the thousands of people that have joined. And the other transformations are really around people, like, you know, everyone gets engaged, makes friends, improves their reading habit, learns more. A few, it becomes a life-changing thing. And that's either because the timing of a certain book or theme hits them really hard. You're like, you know, when someone tells you, you have to read this book or you have to watch this movie. And then you watch it and you're like, yeah, that was great, but I didn't get the life-changing impact. And that's because of timing. So sometimes the timing happens where it does change someone's life, career, they end a relationship, they start a new one, they change directions, they change churches, whatever it is, it's a big shift in their life. And then, of course, it's relationships and community. So we have a lot of people who've made really like meaningful friendships and connections and career partnerships, and even a few lifelong lovers. So yeah, that's what occasionally a Rebel coffee leads to.
And it really is this, you know, this huge event. You have a website, you have these planned events, you know, very thought out the structure of it, you know, like you said, you know, bringing in guests and vouchers, like how did it turn into something that, you know, you could maybe say is, you know, became sort of professional as opposed to just, you know, more of a casual book club, unless, you know, that idea of turning it into something, you know, more concrete was always at the beginning.
Yeah, I think Caleb, you're right. It was always at the beginning. So we had, when we came back from Bali, we were back in London and I was like, well, let's do this again, but let's make sure that we really build in some accountability from the start, both for our members who join us, but also for us as the organizers. So we how do you do that? Money. So we charged £15. It included a small book voucher contribution towards the book, and we'd organize the event. And that model we haven't really changed. And what's great about that is that if you are paying a little bit towards being part of something, you're much more likely to participate. We always know this with events, with content as well. And also from our side, it just meant from day one, not professionals, maybe not the right word, but we wanted to do our best. And the reason why so many book clubs, because there are literally every month, there's hundreds, if not thousands of book clubs being created within organizations, within businesses, within institutions, within like physical communities. And the reason that most of them don't survive outside of the kind of stereotypical group of old ladies having lunch together once a month or the movie that, you know, the book club, the reason they don't survive is they take organization, like creating a podcast or creating any kind of community. You have to have structure and rhythm, and then you have to bring in skill over time because it's all around excellent curation as well as event organization. So yeah, that's the professionalizing of Rebel Book Club. But it's also, you know, it's not a rocket science. It's just about consistency. I think as James Clear, one of our favorite authors, you know, Atomic Habits, says, consistency is greatness. And so in the world of distraction, if you can become a better reader and consistently we can deliver great events every month, we've had our ups and downs, like every little community and startup, but we're still here and we're still having a positive impact each month and we're still learning about great things. And I'm reading more books than I ever read at college. So that's the good thing.
How would you describe to someone that hasn't been what the community is like? You know, you said that, you know, it's very clear that it's different than your standard book club, but what is the Rebel Book Club community? You know, what is the ethos, if there is one, that you can sort of drill down on?
Yeah, I think the ethos is just being open. Everyone's there with the intention to improve their reading habit. That's usually the reason they join. But to be honest, right behind that is connect with other interesting humans. And by interesting humans, all we see is, and all we mean is literally people who are open to learning. And I think we see so much flash before our eyes in the modern world in terms of headlines. So look, this week, hurricanes in Florida, like just a huge weather event there. You know, the craziness of what's just happening in Russia, Ukraine. We've got a political and economic meltdown happening here in the UK. And those are just like three or four of the big headlines, even before you get into, you know, celebrities and pop culture and everything else. And then you've got your work. So we're part of this age of overwhelm and distraction. And I think people come to Rebel Book Club just to help like filter some of this out and to make sense of some of it. So we're jumping all over the place in terms of our themes. But when we dive in, so breath work, for example, this month, everyone knows that how we manage our mental health in all the different ways is becoming increasingly important in this world that, you know, I'm just describing. And so here's a tool, breath work, which a lot of people are, hey, I hear, you know, Wim Hof and ice baths and this and that. This is a thing. I know it's a thing, but I haven't figured out or had the time, ironically, to calm down, breathe and dive into this. So Rebel Book Club will probably explore that at some point. Well, here we are, we're doing it this month. You know, and last week we had our meetup on Earth Heroes and we did a climate change quiz. And for some people in the room, they're deep in climate tech and activism and like it's a big part of their identity and their lives. But for others, they know this stuff matters, but they haven't really had a chance to go into it. So it's carving out a little space for them. So I think that ethos of being willing to explore, to like, here I'm going to make sense of different parts of this crazy world I live in through Rebel Book Club. And the other thing is just to have fun conversations with people who are, yes, they're like-minded in terms of connections and like wanting to learn, but they are all thinking slightly differently and obviously have a different story like you and I do. And just, you know, when you come to a meetup or a conversation, you've got that sort of bedrock of like, you can skip the small talk. You can just go, right, so what did you think either about the book or what's on your mind in terms of this theme? And it might not be that everyone has read the book back to back because you can't every month for most people, but they would have dived into a little bit or we share a TED talk or, you know, listen to this podcast with the author.
I hear there's some great podcasts on books around these days. So,
I've heard that too.
So that's the ethos, and the demographic I think is interesting for us, right? So we started this as, you know, quite a sort of narrow traditional niche, two white, you know, straight guys in a sort of tech startup world. And so you think, oh, it's all going to be the same kind of books. And I guess initially it was the books that we wanted to read. But our community has diversified, thankfully, well beyond us very quickly. And so, you know, we have these inputs coming from all our different members. We try and represent underrepresented authors, publishers, voices in this world of nonfiction. And, you know, as a result, it takes us in all sorts of different places. And so you end up reading and exploring stuff that is out of your bias, set of biases, and the algorithms that feed those biases back to you, right? So your Amazon search might keep recommending books on like how to grow your startup. But actually, have you read this book about this person who went through this whole journey as a refugee? That's potentially a much more useful life and workbook for you, and a way to empathize about other humans. So, that's what we're all about.
Yeah, I think so. You know, something that I find really fascinating about the community is how it sort of exists alongside other social medias, because you have a website that the community members can use. Can you talk about how your site exists as a sort of maybe social media platform or even the book club in real life, and trying to, like you sort of said, get away from some of the more pernicious aspects of social media or lack of connection and community that has been such a problem in the past decade and a half?
Yeah, big question. But from our experience, I think navigating where you host your community online is really hard. You kind of start by going, yo, we're a Facebook group. I mean, this was us when we started. And then, of course, people move. And then now everyone's on, our audience is sitting on WhatsApp, or they may be on other chat groups. And so you then say, well, we've built a really great, we use Mighty Networks as a platform for our conversations or our content online as a private space. But, you know, it's accessed by some of our members and it's useful to some, but the majority will be just part of WhatsApp groups, whether it's by theme or by city. But I would say the strongest and the deepest connections happen in our community one-to-one or face-to-face. So we organize every week, there's the opportunity to sign up to Rebel Coffee, which is basically, we just match. So it's like me and you, we'd get matched based on interest or location or randomness. And then we have a chat and say, what do you think about this? Or what are you reading? Or what are you exploring? And then that develops into other stuff. And so that happens a lot. And I would say that something we try to do, and because I've been involved with lots of sort of online community building over the years, they can get very intense very quickly. And something we've always tried to do with Rebel Book Club is keep it super light. So sometimes it might, like, we send out a weekly newsletter and we share links and stuff, but we don't go all in like every day. We're like, hey, what do you think about this? And where, because we're trying to help people sort of like go and read and like go and live your life. And when you want to come and explore these questions that we're looking at, we're here. And by the way, we have this event every month you can join in with. So I think there's something to be said about lightening our relationship in terms of rhythms on social media. I would like to go more extreme. I would almost like Rebel Book Club to be like 3 weeks silence in terms of communications and 1 week all in on communication. So it's basically 75% of the time we're reading, living our lives, and then for a quarter of the time, for 1 week a month, we're doing the voting, the discussion, the events, the coffees and so on. But it, of course, that's like, you know, it practically it's quite hard to figure that out. But there's a cool, like, I saw the other day, what made me think about it was a new dating app called Thursday, which is like, it's only on Thursdays. And I just think we're going to see in communities, especially online, whether book clubs or dating or otherwise, we're going to see more of that. We're going to see like, we're only happening in this moment or this day or this week, because being always on just isn't efficient or effective or healthy. We're often encouraging our members to go away and read and come back at the end of the month and hang out.
Yeah, I think it's a sort of interesting approach. It's almost like you've created, and I'm sure you probably think about this in some way, but like you've created an almost alternative social media space. And, you know, I'm wondering, you know, in the course of running this book club, if there's anything that you feel that you've like learned about how communities operate because I think that you have this sort of unique perch into seeing, you know, into running a community, into seeing how people interact with each other, seeing what works and what doesn't work. Like, I think that, you know, the suggestion that you just made about, you know, being off for 3 days, for 3 weeks, and then being on for 1 week is not, I think, necessarily the type of idea that someone who is just setting up a book club would necessarily have. You know, that's an idea that someone would have after 7.5 years of doing it.
Yeah, so. But I'm not saying that from a point of view of like, I'm tired of being, you know, at the helm of this community. It's more about thinking about our members. But I actually also think the freedom for people to come and go as they please is what's really important. And we have a flexible membership, which allows people to do that. And they can join in when it fits their diary or fits their interest. And the other thing that's into, I guess, in answer to the question about communities, you've got to figure out, like with everything in life, are you driving action and participation through the, you know, carrot or stick, incentive or discipline, like fear or hope? And the answer is that we, most of us need both, depending on the mindset we're in, depending what we need help with. So when we're like, guys, you should be on page 25, you should be like this, this is your rhythm, off you go. Some of our meetup is coming in 3 weeks, you got to keep going. Some of our members really like that kind of boot campy approach. Other members, if you hassle them with that, they're like, leave me alone. I just want to be inspired by this. Tell me why this book is amazing, why I should put it to the top of my pile. So yeah, it's interesting that kind of constant navigation of like what works, what doesn't for incentivizing people to act. I find that community building is at its most effective when it's simple about why you exist. It's very clear. It's very clear about what role the individual is going to be playing in this community. And then remember, they're customers as well as community members. So you've got to be clear about that as well. We're providing this service, but you're expected to behave like this. So clarity, simplicity. And then I think there's less communication is often more in many of these communities. So by that, I mean, if you can basically just say, hey, there aren't 25 rules for how to behave in this community. The rule is we're here to like get the most out of nonfiction, help each other and, you know, have fun and learn more from this wildlife that we're riding and connect with each other. I mean, that's not a set of rules. It's a kind of intention for how we are as a community. Then most people, 99% of people are on board with that. And when you have a paywall, you know, you've got to pay to join this thing, it does filter out difficult people. And I would say the hardest time we've had as a community was during COVID, not because we weren't able to do events online. We're lucky. We're not a travel business, travel community, we're a reading community. So we're able to do that. But we did get more sort of random people joining for random reasons, I guess, because they were bored at home and looking for new things to be part of. And very quickly, as soon as you get one or two people disrupting or not, especially online or a WhatsApp group or whatever, you know how, you know, they can have a disproportionate effect on the vibe. So that was tricky. But then we're just like, just go away if you don't want to be here. And they did. And then we're good again. And so I often hear from people like, oh, how do you figure out what the rules are, what the manifesto is? What else? I was like, just be clear. This is why we exist. This is what's expected. Like if you go into someone's home or you go into the village hall or whatever, you behave in a certain way and it's the same. I think the other big thing for us is that we do a lot online. We do hybrid events. We stream. We connect with people online. We have message groups. But principally, we want to bring good people of Rebel Book Club together in person, whether that's one-to-one with other members or whether that's in a bigger group, which is why we stay very focused in the UK, because that's where our connections are. But then we have a whole bunch of members in the States and other parts of the world, and when they join in conversations, it's fantastic because we get such a different perspective. That's what we're all about. And anyone who's starting a community of any kind, I would just say, you know, just be really clear about why you exist, what you want to achieve, and also be transparent. Like, this is going well, and we're trying to figure this out. And remember, you have a life outside of it.
Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie. Get chef-prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's ready-to-eat meals, so you can go back to doing what you love this spring. Looking for gourmet meals? Try meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus. And this is the part I really like. No fuss, no mess meals. Factor meals eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning. You simply heat and savor the good stuff. Factor's the solution for fast, premium meals without the need for cooking. Head to factormeals.com/NBN50 and use code NBN50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code NBN50 at factormeals.com/NBN50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
What are, you know, some of the events like, you know, maybe if there's one particular event that you really enjoyed, maybe there was an unexpected speaker, some people had interesting points, interesting conversation. You know, what are the events like? You know, walk us through that a little bit.
Oh, there's so many. We've done 89 now, so like months. And some of the months
yeah,
have multiple
events.
Yeah, it
doesn't need to be a specific one. You could sort of just say
I'll pick out a couple. So we had, I remember we read Michael Pollan's How to Change Your Mind. So Michael Pollan wrote The Omnivore's Dilemma. It's about the heritage of food. And How to Change Your Mind was about the heritage of psychedelics and their role in culture and society over the ages, bringing it right up to contemporary times. And his experience of taking guides, go through some poison dart frog guided trip and everything else. And here's a guy, a 65-year-old man who'd never supposedly touched anything like it. So brilliant book. And we had a great event. And we were talking all about what we learned from it. And then there's like the tech bros talking about microdosing. And there was like the kids that traveled that were talking about ayahuasca ceremonies. And then there was people interested in like healthcare talking about psychedelics and treatments and so on. So, and then, really interesting conversation. Then it got to the point of the evening, and we had about 150 people together in London. And we got to the point of the evening where we were sort of saying, right, does anyone here want to share like their own, stand up and share their own experience taking psychedelics? And there was one guy I knew was prepared to do it. So I was like, at least I've got one. And he was called Tom Love, a perfect name. Tom, if you're listening, thank you for doing this. And he stood up and told his story. And then that was it. It was sort of tumbleweed. I was like, oh, man, I bet there's so many great stories here. And just anyway, I pushed it a bit further. Anyone else want to just share? Safe space. It's all good. It's not going to ruin your career. And then one other person came and one other person came. And like within 10 minutes, suddenly we had like 50 people on the stage. And almost like more people were like, no, I've taken psychedelics. No, I've taken. And it was one of those like amazing nights where people just shared loads of, personal experiences. And it felt like a mini cultural moment within our community, which was cool. Maybe one other example, we had, and this was an online event. We had we read the book called Rise Up by an artist called Stormzy, who's a grime artist from London, who's packed a massive.
Yeah, I love Stormzy.
There you go.
Listeners should go and search Stormzy on Spotify or whatever.
Yeah, he's had a huge influence on like UK music culture and beyond in the last 5 years, and he's the role model that so many people, young people, need. And anyway, this book is about him and his crew's story from going from like, you know, spitting their lyrics and their grime on the streets of South London through to like winning major awards within 5 years. We didn't get Stormzy, unfortunately, but we had a whole bunch of people who work in that culture as producers, as artists, as business people come together for a conversation. And it was so interesting hearing about their different careers and
the work they were doing, and how, like, the inside story of how this new sort of genre of music has exploded and how powerful it is a moment for so many people. So yeah, that really stood out, because it's probably a book that even if you like the music, you might not have picked up straight away. And sometimes the best books, like that people read and go, wow, that was an amazing book, don't necessarily lead to the best conversations or the best meetups, because everyone's like, that was great. Sometimes it's the books that divide people a bit more, or people react to in different ways emotionally, that drive the most engaging conversations. So yeah, that's what's, and every month is fun because we don't know what's coming next. But I always feel really grateful when it comes to, like, communication around content and, like, events, that we are Rebel Book Club, because you see all these people who are running great little startups, but they're like, they make nut butter or, you know, t-shirts. You're like, every month we get a whole new topic to discover, I guess is what academics have always had, right? But so, and we're like designing these, you know, what should we do next month? We could go in all these different directions. So that's the real buzz of doing it.
Yeah, I think that, you know, that the community aspect of it, you know, really sets the book club apart, because I think that, you know, as much, a lot of nonfiction reading that I think people do is a solitary activity. You know, it's their own personal passion or exploration, or if they are an expert on it, it's something that they just share with other experts. Like I know, you know, listeners who are, you know, if they are a historian of something very, very specific, you know, they know 19th century Canadian history, you know, they can have a great conversation with other people that know that topic. But outside of that, it's hard to get perspectives or share with people that aren't experts in that field. So you really get this wide sampling of people.
That's true. And but building on that, I would say that, you know, an example is we read The Silk Roads, which is a history book.
The Frankopan book.
Yeah, Peter Frankopan. Hey, yeah. Caleb. Boom, straight in there, dropping the author's name.
All I do all day is look at what books are coming out. So
I actually was just chatting with Peter on Twitter about an hour ago, because the crazy story that's going on in Russia, and Putin's just announced the annexing of these four regions of, and he's doing the social commentary because he's an expert on recent world history and the East and the West. And the book, The Silk Roads. So when we read that book and I reached out to him, we always reach out to the authors. Sometimes we get them, sometimes we don't. But, you know, we're buying 1,000 books a month of theirs, so it usually helps get their attention, even though we're relatively small compared to, like, you know, the Oprahs or the Richard and Judys in this country of book clubs. But he joined our event. He could be there in person, but he was at the UN, so he did a live link up. And it was such a brilliant way. It was like one of those classes where you just went, oh, I feel connected to the world. And he was like, look, I'm at the UN because of this, this, and this. And so when I was talking about all roads lead to China, to Beijing, this is what I mean because of what's going on in here today. And so suddenly, I mean, he's a great, I think, tutor at Oxford and so on. But suddenly you're like seeing these dots being joined up in real time. And so then when the news breaks of what we're seeing today with Russia, you have a bit more of an understanding of why that is. You're not an expert, but you can kind of join up the dots a bit more because you've read a little bit on that topic. And I think there's a book called Range, which is all around, you know, having a range of skills and interests and talents in life. And often that's been said to be not a good thing because you're master of none, you know, you're a little bit good at everything, but master of none. And of course, that doesn't suit everyone, but I'm certainly one of these people that I'm interested in loads of things. I love learning about loads of things. I love connecting with loads of people. And that I find increasingly valuable and interesting as I get older. And I think that's what we're about at Rebel Book Club.
Ben, you know, my sort of final question for you is, you know, what is the plans for the future of the book club? You know, what books are you planning? What's the next book? And, you know, is there anything, you know, sort of vision you have for how the book club is going to expand in the future?
Yeah, I mean, our vision mission hasn't changed. It's to make nonfiction as appealing and as engaging
to as many people as possible. I think what we've done has been great. It's not hit a huge audience, but we're constantly, you know, our rhythm is there, and we just keep doing every month, and we bring in new people, and it's great. Something we're doing a lot more of now, which I'm excited about, is starting, because we built these relationships with all these authors, nonfiction authors, over the years, especially the sort of fresh, new introducing authors that we're excited about. And we've started to almost be like an agency for them, to book them for gigs. And you know, authors are hot talent when it comes to speakers these days, if they can deliver as well as speaking as well as they can in the written word. And many of them can, and they're great promoters through their social channels. So we started booking them for events, and we help curate it. So we'll work with a, you know, a finance organization or a marketing organization or a conference, and say, right, what's the theme? Who are you looking for? So, you know, even this summer we did a couple of festivals, and we had, you know, we brought in three great authors on like very different themes, and they were just like, bring them in, host them, you know, sometimes run the interviews, organize a different format. So that's where we want to do a lot in the future, is Rebel Book Talks, and also in-house Rebel Book Clubs for organizations and businesses, where they say, look, we're trying to figure out, you know, gender in the workplace, we're trying to figure out net zero, we're trying to figure out productivity, you know, all these big workplace questions. And of course, there's so many great books on all these topics. But the person usually organizing that stuff hasn't got the capacity or the experience to like figure that. So we can come in and do that, and also kick their butt a little bit to get the learning done. So yeah, hopefully lots of that virtually and in person all over the world.
Well, Ben, thank you so much for being a guest on the New Books Network. Would you mind telling our listeners where they can find, you know, either your information, or if they're curious about joining or just seeing what the book club's all about, where can they reach it?
Yeah, easy to find us. Just throw Rebel Book Club at any search engine. Rebelbook.club is our domain. People are welcome to join from all over the world. And if you put in, I'm going to find the voucher so you can put it in your notes, but there's a £5 free book voucher for everyone who's listening to this to get you going. And yeah, you're welcome to join us, and also recommend books that we always ask everyone who joins, share a book with us that's had a nonfiction book that's had a massive impact on their life. So Caleb, I'm going to put you on the spot and ask you, what is a nonfiction book that's had a massive impact on your life, which is hard when you read a lot, right?
Yeah. That's interesting. I would say the nonfiction book that has had a massive impact on me is The Human Condition by Hannah Arendt. I love Hannah Arendt a lot. That book, I read it in class. I don't necessarily know if that's the type of book that would be a good a book to read in a month.
It doesn't matter. It had a big impact on you. So,
but yeah, I love Hannah Arendt. I love reading anything by Hannah Arendt.
Hannah, you got a shout out from Caleb. The other thing I should mention is we're finally launching a podcast. People have been asking for years, and we're like, no, there's too many book podcasts. And we were trying to find how can we do it in the Rebel Book Club way. And so what we've been doing this year is interviewing some of our favorite authors about the books that change them most as people. So yes, we talk about their books and their work, but we also talk about, it's kind of like Desert Island Discs, but for nonfiction. Yeah. So we've recorded that first season, and The Books That Changed Me by Rebel Book Club is going to be out soon.
That sounds really interesting. Well, Ben, thank you so much. Have a great evening. I don't know what time it is right now, but afternoon.
Thanks, Caleb. Great to chat.